You are listening to a Banzai Retro Club podcast. Language and topics may not always be appropriate for younger listeners. Press 1 for a groovy topic from the 1970s. Press 2 for an awesome topic from the 1980s. Or press 3 for a slamming topic from the 1990s. Please choose now. Too late. We have made your selection for you. Let's start the show.
Yeah, I think it is funny. I actually started my day also with watching one of the back episodes of Walking Dead I haven't gotten through yet. So yeah, it's weird to watch, you know, a zombie apocalypse and then go.
Lots of people are starting to watch like all the different plague movies and
yeah.
It's like how you sell more ice cream in the winter. You can't explain it.
Yeah, true. Very true. So yeah,
people are like, oh, there's an apocalypse. Oh, I might as well sit down and watch 2 seasons of Jeremiah.
Okay. Yeah, maybe it's for tips, you know.
Yeah, would be.
Yeah, I remember watching like Walking Dead and trying to like analyze, you know, is a prison a good place to hide out? It sounds like it is, but. You know, then you start like thinking, what's the best place and, you know, to hold up if you had to.
Yeah.
So it's good to have that kind of like thought process in your brain. You know,
you have to think it like, OK, right now things are kind of a little dodgy. People have to stay in, but everything's still running.
Right.
The actual problems of like crumbling society happen when there's no power grid and there's no water.
Right.
That's. You know, so if you're like looking for a spot, you're looking for a spot future thinking, okay, does this have solar or do I have to like get a generator and root for gas? And then that's a whole thing. So I need, you know.
Right. Right. Yeah. There's a lot of things to consider. And I think the creative mindset will probably do a little better.
I hope it doesn't come to all that. I think this is going to be a couple of months of everybody stay home and we'll drop your groceries at your door for you. And then I think after this goes away, all this delivery stuff's going to stay because people are going to go, why the hell would I go to the store anymore? Like, why were we doing that before?
Yeah. And I can see that, you know, the like business spaces getting smaller because they're thinking, OK, you can be quite effective from working from home and we don't have to have like brick and mortar, which will ultimately, you know, make companies run a little leaner. So. We'll see.
Everything's going to be different. The main thing I'm worried about is I don't think there's going to be a comic industry because it's dead right now. There's no heartbeat and there's only so long until you can revive a heart with no beat. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, I did see something along the lines of at least 2 comic book stores in the local area have shut their doors permanently.
Yeah. See, because, you can't – they run month by month. So.
Right. Right.
The best, absolute best thing I saw that would save the comic industry if Marvel and DC did, but they're not going to do it. There's a company, I never read their stuff. I just saw the post and it's like 3 letters. And they said, okay, every comic we sell through our site, we're going to also send their cut to the comic store as if they sold it. I was like, that is the best idea I ever heard of to like keep stores open.
You know? That's awesome.
But all it had to do, it would probably save at least a big chunk of the comic industry if Marvel or DC came out and did the same thing. But
yeah,
I don't think they're going to do anything.
Yeah.
It's crazy that the big two are not like they're living on they're like Quado on both sides of this guy and he's dying and they're not even moving. It's just, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, hopefully something, you know, all these big companies, I think, you know, are trying to do the right thing, but maybe they're, yeah, those guys are just a little slow to the game of trying to figure out what that is.
I think probably what the thing is, okay, they're run by a big company bigger than comics, and comics is their little side thing. If you're a comic company, then the best thing to do is help the comic stores. If you're a big industry, then the best thing to do is curl everything up and reserve your resources. You know,
right.
It's 2 separate businesses, but the big business is running the little one like it's a big one, you know?
Right, right.
So that's – I think, there's going to be – they're going to have to basically make a whole new comics industry after this. It's crazy.
Yeah, even then, if it like changes to like all digital, I don't know if I'm a fan of that.
No, it definitely won't go digital. That's why like they had some solutions that they were talking about. They're like, we'll do digital for now, and each digital one comes with a ticket or whatever that'll get the actual comic when we print it. And so that was the big hope. But all the comic stores are like, why would we ever get people used to digital like in any way? Because we might as well just close. Like it's just the same thing. And so that's not gonna happen. But there's a because I used to be one of these guys that's a nut about having the you have to have the physical book, you have to have them all in order, like collectors. So they're gonna come out of the woodwork afterwards and they'll rebuild some kind of probably way smaller, but there'll be a comic industry. And the people that make comics are I know a ton of my friends are people that make comics, and it's like a crazy obsession. So they're never gonna stop. So there'll be comics, but there just may not be a big industry anymore.
Okay.
It's crazy.
Will there still be a DC and Marvel, you think?
I have a feeling DC and Marvel are going to be something not related to whatever comic industry comes up. Like, they'll probably still make some books or in some, they'll do something with it, but that'll be their little hobby company where they store all the rights, and then they use all the rights on everything else that makes more money.
Got it. So they'll continue with shows and movies.
A little bit, and they'll probably print like still those ones they put in Walmart and you know a couple things like that, but I don't think they're gonna be much of anything.
Wow. Yeah, well, we'll see what happens, I suppose. So you ready to get into this?
Oh yeah.
Cool.
Board games. I only pop in for video game related stuff. When you're doing the wizard, you'll have to get hold of me.
So the general rule is just don't Google anything while we're talking. I think, you know, there's a lot of times when people are podcasting, it's easy for them to bring up IMDb and, you know, facts and figures and stuff like that.
Every single person has this at their fingertips. I actually like the way you do it because memories are kind of fuzzy. And yeah. Why shave off the fuzz?
Yep. Good. Awesome. All right, so...
Although I have seen the movie probably 3 or 4 weeks ago.
Oh, nice. Okay, well, good. Then you've got a more recent recollection of it than I have. Oh, shit. Yeah, of course, everybody has. Yeah. You know what I watched the other day for the first time? Raging Bull. I'd never seen it before.
I'm not a giant, like, sports movie kind of...
Yeah. Thing.
But that's one of the good ones. Like, that one, Rocky, there's, like, some classics.
Yeah, there was this image that was going around Facebook, like that had like all these different 80s movies, and it says how many of those have you seen, and then you post your answer like in the comments.
Yeah.
And I was like one that had like the lowest score, and I'm like, you know what? And I just it stuck with me, and this happened months ago, and I was like, I'm going to up my score, so I went looking for from that list, what I hadn't seen, and tried to find, you know, something that was free available to stream. And I came across that. I'm like, all right, there you go, doing it. And yeah, it wasn't a bad flick. Was not a bad flick at all. I really kind of enjoyed it.
Usually if people like rhyme off a movie as a classic and you haven't seen it, it's probably, you know, what I do is I save those. I'm like, when I need a good movie, I'll whip that one out because everybody says it's good, you know.
Yeah. So, I think Raging Bull shows up later on here in this list. So, at least now I've got some context to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So, let's go ahead and get started then.
Right on.
Yes, I am recording. So, we're going to insert the bumper here.
This is 80-something podcast.
Banzai!
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 Hey, where's the meat? I don't think there's anybody back there.
You or any of your family ever seen a spook, specter, or ghost?
If the answer is yes, then don't wait another minute. Pick up your phone and call the professionals. Ghostbusters! Our courteous and efficient staff is on call 24 hours a day to serve all your supernatural elimination needs.
We're ready to believe you!
And now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
G.I. Joe!
be it to each other. And party on, dudes!
Hey, this is Dave, and you are listening to Banzai Retro Club. We are doing another one of our essential 1980s movies. For the uninitiated and those that hadn't listened to the previous episodes, what that is I found a list on RottenTomatoes.com, and they put together their list of 140 essential 80s movies. I took it upon as myself with a vision quest to say I'm going to put a podcast episode together for each one of those. Now, I've gotten my way all the way to 78, which is War Games 1983, which is a very fun movie. And joining me is Creed Stonegate. How you doing, Creed?
Hey, not bad. You're on a mad journey, Dave. A mad journey.
mad journey. I'm going to get there. I'm getting there.
Yeah.
it gets even more fun when I haven't seen the movie. But that's not the case today. War Games is actually pretty iconic in my life. Back in the, it's probably the reason why I really got focused into computers. In the late 80s, I would have an Apple IIe, and that became kind of my hobby. I enjoyed tinkering with it, seeing what it was all about, see how I can make it do things. But, before I had gotten to that part of my life, I had seen this movie. And in ways, I wanted to be David Lightman. I wanted to, be the guy that, because I wasn't the best student, but, I probably, if I would have applied myself, I could have been a better student. But the idea of being able to hack into the school computer and change my grade sounded really great. Of course, I never did anything like that, but it sounded like a great idea on the surface. Don't let my kids listen to this. So to me, the movie would probably light a candle that would become the fire of the career that I would have in IT. Because in ways I had always associated and liked the character David Lightman. Matthew Broderick was in this. He did a wonderful job. I jumped too far ahead in the discussion. So there's something that I do at the beginning of the episodes where I say I'm going to insert the trailer. I'm going to do that here.
David Lightman was a master at computer games. A fast thinker.
Oh, David! Maybe you could tell us who first suggested the idea of reproduction without sex.
Your wife?
Get out, Lightman.
And a promising student.
Hi.
At an old game.
Hi.
With an electronic twist.
Are those your grades?
Yeah. I don't think that I deserved an F. Do you?
Go to jail for that.
Only if you're over 18. This computer company is coming out with these amazing new games in a couple of months. You might want to play those games. Wow.
What?
We got something.
He found the right code word to play the game.
We're in.
But it was the wrong computer.
Shall we play a game?
How could I ask you that?
How about mobile thermonuclear war?
Fine.
All right.
What the hell?
They're trajectory headings for multiple impact re-entry vehicles.
What does that mean?
I don't know, but it's great.
All stations, this is Crystal Palace.
Wonder if I should use my subs.
22 Typhoon class submarines departing Petropavlovsk.
What in the hell's happening here?
Oh my god.
Shall we play?
I have 7. Correction, 8. That's 8 Redbirds.
Get on the sack. Tell them to flush the bombers.
Russians are still denying everything, sir.
Who are you working with?
Nobody.
Why don't I believe you?
Over day, we have Soviet missile warning.
Based on your arrest, pending indictment for espionage.
Espionage?
Confidence is high. I repeat, confidence is high.
Cobra Dane, is this an exercise?
Negative, this is not an exercise.
Give me the president on the horn.
It's still playing the game. It's going to start a war.
Close up the mouth.
Is this a game or is it real?
War Games, playing soon at a theater near you.
Shall we play?
Then I'm going to rely on my friend Google here. I'm going to say, hey, Google, tell us about the movie War Games.
War Games is a 1983 movie directed by John Badham, starring Ali Sheedy, Matthew Broderick, and John Wood.
Then I'm going to say, hey, Google, give me the synopsis of the movie War Games.
Here's the synopsis of War Games. High school student David Lightman, Matthew Broderick, unwittingly hacks into a military supercomputer while searching for new video games. After starting a game of global thermonuclear war, Lightman leads the supercomputer to activate the nation's nuclear arsenal in response to his simulated threat as the Soviet Union. Once the clueless hacker comes to his senses, Lightman, with help from his girlfriend Ali Sheedy, must find a way to alert the authorities to stop the onset of World War III.
All right, Creed, are you ready for the question?
I'm ready.
Shall we play a game? So, you wanted to be on the War Games discussion. Why is this movie such important for you?
It's just one of those 80s touchstones. That's just it's a classic. Like to me, what I love about it, and I love about it because it's like the one that I'd put in between the one with what's the name of that movie?
You gotta give me a little more to go on.
I like that this movie is a cross between Cloak and Dagger and Ferris Bueller. Like it's
Cloak and Dagger. I love that movie.
Like and I'm pretty sure they came. I'm not googling anything. I'm pretty sure they came after this, so I can kind of see where. Especially there's a few scenes where you can really see some Ferris Bueller in them. So somebody saw this and went, ah, he's Ferris Bueller. And then somebody else saw this and went, Dabney Coleman needs to be in Cloak and Dagger, you know, like.
Yeah, yeah.
Where the seeds were.
Yeah, yeah, because Broderick, every so often, he would have said, like, something kind of snarky, like, especially to his teacher.
Well, I mean, little tricky things like, oh, I'm going to check the secretary's password, and then, like, he runs the school. Like, that's a very Ferris Bueller thing to do, you know?
No, very true, very true. And I didn't even look for, like, how the streams crossed with Ferris Bueller, but that's a great point.
Yeah, see where somebody must have watched it and was reading that script and went, oh, I know, you know, right away.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. So you said you just recently watched it. How many times do you think you've seen War Games? Through the course of your life?
Had to be, I don't know, probably 10 or 15 times since, you know, originally.
Okay.
I rewatch a lot of 80s stuff, so, you know.
10 to 15, that's substantial, because, I mean, normally, you know, good movies that I enjoy, you know, I'm probably just under 10, I would say, maybe. And this one's probably about that. It might be about 7 or 8. I enjoy it, you know, and if I'm thinking about it and I stumble across it, I'm sure I'm going to hit play.
Oh, yeah.
So you can't go wrong. You can't go wrong with this movie. Ali Sheedy looked just so awesome as a girl next door kind of look.
She's perfect in this part. Like, yeah. And even at the start, how she's giving him trouble, and then he's like, oh, she's giving me trouble. I like her even more now. And it's just like you just see how they're getting along great.
Yeah.
That's a good B story for all the computerized stuff, you know.
Yeah, well, you know, all of us guys that just spent, you know, so much time, you know, messing around with computers didn't have a girl like that hanging around with them. So this even helped the fantasy of this movie even more.
It's hard to pull off this style of movie, especially in the 80s, without throwing like a love interest in. The only one I can really think of, I think Explorers was just like the boys out on a mission. I don't think there was any girl in that one. But most of them have to throw that in because, you know, that's just human interest.
Yeah, yeah, no, exactly. Did you have a computer as a kid?
I have a weird kind of thing about, okay, I had game systems. I had like a Nintendo.
Right.
And my neighbor across the street showed me one. Now, this is the first time I saw somebody with a home computer. And I went over and he had he sat down at his computer and he fired it up. And that took maybe 20 minutes to get it all going. And then he put a cassette tape into this thing. And that took 5 or 8 minutes to load the game.
Sure.
And then he showed me Jupiter Lander, and it was just like a little triangle and a rocky surface, and he had to find a spot, and he landed. And he showed me that, and I was thinking, this has no use to anybody. I was like, nobody would – why do you – this is a hobby. Like, I can get one of those Tiger LCDs and sit out in the sun and do this. Like, you know. But so, my first impression of a computer was nobody's going to want one of these things.
Wow. Okay.
But then, like, later, before I owned my own computer, I had access to the local college, like, lab. So that's where, like, they had Windows, I think it was Windows 3.1. Oh. It was before 95. And yeah. I had a friend's girlfriend's password. It was all dodgy, but that's where I learned all my internet.
Windows for work groups. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And you probably went into, like, a bulletin board on the internet.
Oh, we were in like a chat room, and I'm like, and everybody in the place was just mystified because the internet was new, and everybody was like, "And where are you from?" And that's and somebody came in, and where are you from? It was just like everybody was boggled by it. And I remember this was so silly. Me and my friends, because some of my friends came to the lab, and I if I found an awesome picture, which was rare on the internet, like the internet was. I remember I searched for I was doing a graphics project, and I needed a picture of a moose, and I searched on the internet in Netscape One. And yeah, I had 7 pictures of a moose come up on it might have been InfoSeek or WebCrawler or something like that.
Right,
7
right.
pictures was the result. So, but I remember if I found a cool picture, I wrote down the address on a piece of paper. So my friends would go, "Hey, give me that notepad you got with all those cool pictures in it." Like that. When I was very first on the internet, like the first like month I was on the internet. It's crazy.
Yeah, I just remember how we used to have to find images before. You know, having the computer hooked up, I mean, you were going to the library and looking, you know, encyclopedias or, yeah. you know, periodicals or whatever, just to find, you know, something that, you know, was useful. That was, you know, that was some work.
I used to run the biggest spot to find, like, images from pop culture on the internet. My website was pretty large at the time, and I had a Snappy. So if I had something on VHS, I could get a picture of it. So I had the most pictures from stuff that anybody had at the time.
Whatever happened to that website?
It ran for a long time, and it sort of died off when websites died off. Like, people just stopped using websites as much.
Okay. All right.
But still, it's rebuilt now. It's my store. But it used to be a giant, like, entertainment recommendation site. And, yeah, it used to be pretty big.
So going back to the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, just one of the really coolest aspects that I thought of the computer, and this is still something that I think is hokey nowadays where they don't do it right, is the computer talking to you, reading out exactly what...
We thought that was the future.
Yeah, thought that was the bomb.
All the smartest computers will talk to you. You don't have to type stuff in. You know?
Right, right.
We don't even bother... Well, yeah, actually... they're saying that everything's going to be like Siri and like you just asked Google.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, true. And then, I mean, sure, you got Cortana and all that good stuff built into Windows 10. But it just doesn't feel the same. It doesn't feel like, you know, there's potential life there.
I won't be using it, but I have a feeling the rest of the world will in 10 years time. Everything will just be voice.
Yeah. Well, I could see that totally happening. I mean, I've got, you know, like I said, the Google Mini right here, and I've got, you know, the Google Home at, you know, downstairs, and I'm constantly, you know, having it tell me the news or the weather or, you know, things like that, you know, that, you know, it can do in its limited capacity. But, you know, if I ever have it where I can, like, use it to command, like, you know, some sort of robotic arm or something like that, or, you know, I'm loving it, you know, because I even got, like, one of those little vacuum robots, and there's supposed to be a way that you can kind of sync them together, and that way you would just be able to say, you know, tell it to vacuum the room or whatever. Yeah. So I haven't quite got that worked out right. And then I've also got like the Wi-Fi lights where you can control the different lighting. And I've got it on an app on my phone. But once again, you're supposed to be able to sync it up with the voice commands, which I haven't figured out exactly how to do right. But yeah, I could just see that, you know, it's going to be very close to like Star Trek kind of thing where you're just saying like, "Hey, computer," and then ask it to do something.
I'm such the opposite kind of person. Like, when I'm here, let's see, I have my tablet. I have a tablet here, but I have it set to never, ever connect to any kind of signal of any sort. And then my phone, because I can say, like, there's some kind of command, and it'll answer and start something. And I'm like, I don't like that's listening for anything. So if I'm not on my phone or using it for something, it's off. Like, I don't want there's nothing listening to me that's going to respond, like, computer voices or stuff. No, thanks. I'm from the 80s. That stuff freaks me out.
I honestly think that might be wise, because there's more than enough times where I've just had random conversations with my wife or my daughter, and then I go on my computer and it's giving me advertisements.
You're fighting over how the dog ripped the bag of dog food. Well, we'll sell you dog food. It's like, I don't like that. That's convenient. That's eerily convenient. No.
Yeah, and it's like, I don't remember saying yes to allowing that to happen. Yeah. And it's like, that's kind of creepy.
That was in the 42-page scroll that you just checked the box for when you
got that. That's exactly what happened. Yes, sir.
That was on scroll 38 and a half, you know.
Yeah, after the first paragraph, I was like, oh, fuck it.
That box should say fuck it. You know, because that's what everybody does. Nobody reads that.
Maybe there's two boxes. Yeah, I agree and fuck it.
Yeah, I agree that if we hear you talk about dog food, we get the right to sell you dog food. It's
like, yeah. Yep. So I'm sorry, you were going to say something about War Games. What was on your brain there?
It was kind of jarring, actually, because I had this kind of fuzzy memory of, oh, it's like an 80s adventure movie. You know, I remember. I haven't seen it in a while before, like the last time. And then when I watched it again, what struck me was the first scene was completely, like, not like the rest of the movie for a long time. Because the whole first scene is a buddy from the West Wing, really super young, and this other guy. And they're putting their keys in, and he won't. And the other guy's just gun on him. And
yeah, yeah. I remember also that.
What I found scary was, okay, they're setting up they're in this, you know, this missile silo. Right. And they're setting up the things and pressing buttons. And then one button doesn't work and he just goes, oh, just flick that. And it works. And then he flicks. I'm like, things shouldn't run like that are that important. You know, I hope stuff doesn't really, but it probably does work that way, you know.
Yeah.
Man. But yeah. Just that whole first scene, and then it
comes. I remember that. Give it a chat.
Like Police Academy, you know. I was like, "Oh, this is light movie." It's, you know, but that was a really serious. That was crazy.
You know, it really kind of gave you a kind of foreboding as to, you know, kind of what was at play during the whole game, or not the whole movie. I mean,
to give the movie any kind of depth to it, they had to set up the Russian scare, because at the time, right, you don't need that set up for it, because that's what was going on, but they needed to put it in the movie because now we're not scared of the Russians, you know, so.
Right, right. It helped kind of set the stage. And it set the stage in an ominous way, and then it got really light.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And then it kind of matched it, like, and near the end it got intense again. So it was like, okay, right. That wasn't completely out of place, you know.
Right. Yeah, it was an interesting premise that they put in there, where the computer wanted to just finish the game. You know, it was simply
the guy didn't trust the computer. He was like, no, I need to get somebody on the phone. And he's like, that's not the procedure. We just get the red light and do the thing. He's right. Like, I'm not until I talk to a person, you know, like.
Yeah. You would hope that more people were like that. But at the same time,
now almost nobody's probably like that. They'd be like, oh, it indicates on my phone I'm supposed to annihilate 400 people. OK, here, press that button. And then they'll go on to swipe to the next app and go on with their business. Like, that's what people are like there. They're just, oh, why did you do that? Oh, it says an alert on my phone. And, you know, I pressed it because it went away, you know.
Oh, wow. No, you probably, you know, you've got a premise there, because at work, being in the IT industry, you know, and in a lot of ways I have to work with, like, our cybersecurity team. And, you know, they tell me about how many different, like, computer attacks the company would get, like, throughout, you know, just in a given day. Yeah. But there's the premise of
a hailstorm on the side of the building, probably.
Yeah, 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 exactly. Yeah. And so there's, you know, they've got a lot of applications and software that's helping protect the company. But, you know, the thing that gets through sometimes is the phishing attacks. And exactly what you were saying, where people will receive an email that looks legit and it says click here.
They're like, oh, you eat at Vito's down on your lunch. Here, right. Click for a free sandwich at Vito's downstairs.
Right. Right. Oh. And then people will click there, and then they go in and they, you know, fill out all the information, you know, whether they should or not. And then, you know, then they've just given it to the wrong person.
It was not Vito.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So you're right. In some cases, there's going to be the blind faith trust and whatever it is the computer tells you to do and say, okay, I'll click OK here.
I saw this crazy thing. I think it was one of those, like, it wasn't a show, but it was on in-between shows, and I think it was, like, hosted by Dave Coulier. This was, like, way back, one of those filler things, and it had different clips and stuff. And it had a little thing about War Games that I remember. And they said Ronald Reagan watched War Games, and after he watched War Games, he asked his generals. He was like, could somebody bust into our computer? And they were like, we never thought about that. Let me check. And they went and checked and went, yeah, we should probably. And that's how they got a department for that. Like, from War Games.
Oh, I didn't hear that. It doesn't surprise me, though.
Imagine watching that and going, hey, we got a computer system. I wonder if people can bust into that thing. And nobody thought of that before. You know. And they said they were busting into, like, China's stuff by then. So, you know, I don't know.
Crazy. Very crazy.
But yeah, it's all Ronald Reagan is the reason you guys have, like, computer security on your government now.
So is there anything else about War Games you want to chat about? I mean, we're kind of dabbling around stuff, so.
I think my favorite thing was how it, like, showed the like, I felt like I was a hacker after I watched it, even though I'm, like, apparently it was some realistic stuff, but I mean, also movie stuff, but I mean, I didn't know the difference. So I thought I was a hacker with all the terms, all the war dialer and the, you know, the different DEFCONs and stuff. I was like, oh, right. I'm a hacker now from watching that. But that just set me up for in the 90s when I actually saw Hackers, which was way more unrealistic, but way more of an, like, the unrealistic stuff really sunk in with me. And
yeah,
Hackers is my computer movie. But this, like, this is definitely the 80s version of that.
Yeah, no, I remember Hackers quite well, actually. And that might be a fun one to talk about in the future.
I am obsessed with that sound. That soundtrack owns about 3 years of my life.
I will remember that. Well, we'll have to get you on for that one.
Oh, yeah, I'll be around.
Yeah, Angelina Jolie. Yeah, definitely. But, yeah, that was definitely a whole different take on the whole hacker mythos.
That was, like, the first time most people heard of hacking, or, like, that computers could, especially, like, the thing I think most people got in their mind was, hey, that he changed his, like, score at school. I'm like his grade. Like, somebody went, computers. Right. A lot more people went, computers from this movie.
Actually, you know, do you remember? I'm going to bounce all around here, but Matthew Broderick was actually changing his attendance days in Ferris Bueller with his computer.
I don't remember that. That's weird. Okay. Makes sense, though. Like, by then it was probably, like, just more.
Yeah, Principal Rooney was looking at his screen, and he's talking to Ferris Bueller's mother and says, hey, you know, he's got an unacceptable amount of days that he's missed, and he's sitting there, you know, clicking his, you know, his pen at his computer screen while, you know, Ferris is actually at home, hacked into the computer and changing the days that he's been missing.
He learned from this movie.
Yeah, exactly. That was the David Lightman influence right there.
I think I had to say the big three Matthew Broderick are this one, Ferris Bueller, and Project X, because they're all fantastic.
Love Project X.
Yeah, it's cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. I haven't thought about that one in a while. That was Helen Hunt, right?
I think it was. Yeah. I know it was Matthew Broderick. That was, like, those are his three good 80s, his really good 80s movies to me.
Yeah. He, that was where they had, monkeys that they were having, like, trained for, like, the space program, and then they were killing them.
Yeah, like, you can't make monkey astronauts without hurting the monkey. So, like, he wanted to save them, I guess, you know.
Right, right. Yeah, and then the one that was able to know sign language or something like that, and I guess he had learned that from Helen Hunt, and now I'm talking about a whole different movie. But,
they're all connected, Dave. It's a conspiracy.
Yes, exactly. And I'm sure if we, you know, if we analyzed it enough, we would probably find a
10 connections.
A Ferris Bueller connection and a David Lightman connection in Project X as well.
Oh, yeah. I haven't seen that in probably 10 or 15 years.
Now I'm going to have to go find it, see if it's available.
Good old Project X.
Yep.
That's gonna send me down a whole rabbit hole of monkey movies. I know it is.
Oh, we are going way tangent.
I just wish I could find some going bananas. That's one of my white whales. I can't find any going bananas.
Some what bananas?
Going bananas. It was a monkey show that was mixed in with like cartoons.
Oh yeah, yeah.
It'd be like a kid video, something else, and then going bananas. And that's one of the things. I like to scrounge around for the stuff that it's not for sale. It aired right. like long ago, and somebody has it somewhere. I cannot find any going bananas.
Yeah, I know that you hooked me up with like Visionaries and The Wizard.
I like to be able to root for stuff that like nothing should be unavailable. You know.
Yeah, definitely. And it's so weird because it's like go to like the comic book shows and all that. And he's always got that one guy that's got the DVDs that are like the homemade DVDs that they.
Oh yeah. He thinks he discovered something magical.
You know, so and it's like, but then I realized that, you know, what you're going to end up getting is basically the quality of whatever that guy found on the internet and, you know, burned it to a DVD and maybe put like a, you know, substandard menu in front of it. And I'm like, is that really worth $25-$30?
For super rare stuff that you can't find, you can't buy, and this guy has grounds, basically you're paying for his grounding ability, and that's whatever that is probably the best thing that's out there. So you're getting, you know, you're getting whatever he had.
Right. And in fact, you know, you're looking for your holy grail, like you said, going bananas. You know, if you come across that, you're like, I'm tempted, you know?
Yeah.
So, and then you help support him a little bit more.
Just scrounge for more things. There's always a new white whale, Dave.
Yep. There is. And I've had plenty of that where, you know, like things that I try to find in the wild, but I'm not like scrounging on the internet in the inner circle, you know, the deep dark circles of the web. But, you know, for me, I like to try to find things in the wild. And before it was the Some Kind of Wonderful. I never came across that on DVD. And then, like, even now, I still have Scott. He tells me that he's still looking for it. But, yeah, it's like one of those things where you get that thing in your brain, and you're like, you know what? I've never found this, and I'd like to find it. And you just keep keep in the back of your brain, and when you're out and about, you look. You know, you look in the DVD bin in Walmart, or you're at the thrift store. Yeah, you just go, I'm going to take a quick look for this. Or, you know, you go to a yard sale and you're like, oh, let me see if it's there. You know, it's fun. It's fun for the hunt.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I just like to say that, like, I know a lot of retro maniacs will be listening to this because we're talking about a retro thing. Right. And I know for myself, I'm fine because it's scary times. Like, it is. I'm not above admitting that it is scary times. But I've just become like 10 times more of a retromaniac. Like, I'm reading through my old comics. I'm playing Super Nintendo, Nintendo. I'm just regressing back to my childhood as a cocoon. And I'll tell you, I recommend it.
I can see how that would be very therapeutic.
Oh, man. It's a great hideout from this stuff, I'll tell you.
Yeah. Yeah, just definitely.
Dig out your childhood belongings, I'm telling you, if you have any.
Yeah, I was actually watching Instagram Live, and somebody was going through like the Marvel swimsuit issue from like 91, I think it was. And I was sitting there like watching her go through and like talk about each page. And I'm like, oh my God, I remember having that. And it was just, I was so hooked. I was so hooked in like, you know, watching her and talking to her, you know, as she's talking about, you know, all these different, you know, swimsuits that were drawn around these Marvel characters, and I was fascinated, and I was like, yeah, I've got to go downstairs now and look in my closet that has all the comic books that I have and see if I can find my own copy and then enjoy it myself. But you know, there's a lot of
nostalgia. Has this thing where if that picture is ever in your brain and then you forget about it, it'll flash it back up when somebody else brings it up, and then you're like, wow, that's a feeling I don't normally have, and that gets addictive.
But then, like you were saying, it's going to lead down different paths. You know, you're going to start there, and then you're going to go, oh crap, now I remember this, and now I got to go find
comics
that.
Comics and toys and movies was I watch, and then, you know,
But that's a good thing, because it's getting you away from the modern day crap that we're kind of dealing with.
My big problems are my ammo levels in Metroid. You know?
And that's a good problem to have, I think.
Yes, indeed.
All right. So if you don't have anything else on War Games, maybe we should wrap this up.
Yeah. I would just say that I would highly recommend the movie for anybody who's into 80s, like, cool adventure-style movies. If you like Ferris Bueller's Day Off or... forgetting that. What is the other one? With Demi Coleman.
Oh, Cloak and Dagger.
Oh, yeah. So if you like Ferris Bueller's Day Off or Cloak and Dagger, you're going to love this movie. And if you saw those, you saw this anyway. So.
Yeah. Yeah, very true. Cloak and Dagger. Oh, God, that's a great one. My God. I really want to see that now.
Just from the mention of it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. When the dice rolled, it brought it up.
That blew my mind.
When the what rolled?
When the dice rolled in the movie. Like, I was like, what the?
Wow. Yeah, I was just, now I'm thinking about it. You know, it was the same kid that was in E.T.
Yeah.
Dabney Coleman, right?
80s distilled awesomeness just in that movie.
I don't remember the, I'm going to go on a completely different tangent. So let's wrap this up. Creed, tell everybody about your website.
Oh, I'm an artist. Actually, the thing I'm working on right now is I'm looking at possibly doing a poster of, I drew 100 cartoon villains, and I think I'm going to try and do a poster with all of them in it.
Nice.
But infinitecoolness.com is where to keep track of what I'm doing lately. I post every day on Instagram. I'm on Twitter a lot. I'm on IRC, snail mail. I'm everywhere.
Sounds good. As we said, an essential movie. So I agree that this is definitely an essential movie. I think it should be a must watch for anybody that's into 80s movies. So I can see why it got the list. There's a couple of them that I've stumbled through that I was like, why is this here? But this one, yeah, most definitely makes the list. It's one of those that's entertaining to watch again and again, and you really get your 80s vibe as you're watching it too, because it brings back a lot of the memories of the technology and just kind of, you know, how we passed time, you know, back then. And that's a good thing. So a lot of great 80s retro memories. This part where I remind everybody, we have a website out there. That's BonsaiRetroClub.com. Please go on there. You'll find links to our various social media activities. Gotten really better at our Facebook. So if you're so inclined and you want to give us a follow out there, I am trying to, on a daily basis, post like a happy song, you know, that's from 70s, 80s, or 90s. So if you're looking to get like a little shot of positivity in your morning, then check us out there. Let's see. We are on Instagram. I'm not so good with that one as much as I should be, but we have an account. You want to drop us an email. That's McFly@BonsaiRetroClub.com. And if you want to tell your friends about our retro podcast or Creed's website, please do so. We really do appreciate that. And with all of that being said, we want to just remind everybody, please, please be excellent to each other and have a good whatever. Bye-bye.
Stay home, everybody. Have a great day. Bye.
Hey, everybody. Just want to add something for War Games. Dave and Creed have covered this already, and I'm hoping that he can drop this in at the end of the show. Anyway, War Games, what a great freaking movie. I love it. Love it, love it. Matthew Broderick, Ally Sheedy, great combination of the two. It was very influential in my youth as far as being like into video games. And it was just the perfect timing for this show. And the idea of somebody being able to hack into a system and cause all this mayhem was very fascinating and interesting. And I just can't say enough about this movie. I love it so much. I have it on my... I used to have it on my iPod. I have it on my iPad for travel. So when I go on a flight or something, I watch War Games or Braveheart. One of those two. I've watched them many, many times over. I just watched War Games again recently, and I just still, it's just as good every time I see it. It's just a lot of fun. So anyway, I just want to add that little comment in there for this show. Very quick and simple breakdown of the movie. Matthew Broderick is great in it. Ally Sheedy is great in it. The whole concept is just one of my favorite movies of all time. I think it ranks up there in my top 5, top 8 of all time movies. Anyway, that's all I have for now. So be excellent to each other, and we will talk to you another time.
This has been a Bonsai Retro Club production.
Bonsai, Daniel-san!
Hey, Bonsai!
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 And on the next episode, we're going to be talking about Dragon Slayer 1981.
Right on.
Was it just the other day? You were an achiever, such a busy weaver. Now we hear you've gone astray. And you're living in the shade of a midday arcade. And it's just a little too late. And it's just a little too late. And it's just a real whole life. You feel the rise of everything.
You know.